Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. For me and my co-host Aaron, I'm Chris. We talk Vikings football, obviously, and boy, do we have a whole lot to talk about from the Minnesota Vikings loss on the road at the buzzer. Dude hit a freaking 50-some-odd yard field goal. Man, I wish we had some of those in us, but anyway. Wasn't the last one. I'm talking about the second to last one. But anyway, we are going to break down this road victory that was right in the grasp of our hands. We had it. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But here's another road game, Kansas City and Green Bay earlier, that you just look. And I, like I said, the coulda, woulda, shouldas, that's great. But man, when you look at this one, we're 6-3 now. Easily could be, 7-2. I'm not even going to talk about, 8-1. But, man, it was a rough one. It was a rough one. First half, offense looked like crap. They made some adjustments. Actually, kind of both sides looked like crap. Made some adjustments, got the lead late in the game, and things went awry, man. It was a very up and down day, except for the offensive line, which was mostly down. Really rough one there. Really rough. We actually do have just a couple minutes of audio from the press conference today. Zimmer talking about the loss. We have some Zimmer road stats against winning records opponents since he's been here. I know a lot of people will be interested in that. But yeah, the old line had problems. They didn't have a ton of penalties, but when they did, man, it sure shot us in the foot. Couldn't really get much going. Finished blocks. Cousins was hit or miss. Came out not as sharp as we've seen. Missing a couple of throws. Then they tightened up and they started getting it going. They just couldn't really hit on that deep ball. Thielen re-aggravated a hamstring that was supposedly like a mild, mild hamstring. He pulled himself out of the game. And I don't know what – I mean, when you think of skilled player, especially wide receivers and cornerbacks, the hamstring is – very, very, very troublesome. Another question we're going to ask, were we too conservative with the lead late in the game or too conservative early? Were we trying to just chuck the ball around the yard too much and not establish the run? That's what Zimmer was saying at half. He came back and told the sideline reporter Pam, as we know her, said, hey, we need to run this ball. We need to stop pussyfooting around, basically. I mean, we did throw it 20 times in the first half. Once again, though, defense inconsistent, whether it's the pass rush, whether it's giving up too many long drives, these deep balls. I mean, Trey Wayne's getting abused left and right, that 91-yard run. Oh, my God. And then the fumbles. Great, we forced the fumble. Get the recovery, dude. You know what I mean? And then, some people – right when we came on, especially in like Facebook groups, the Living in Loserville Viking Facebook group stuff, when we put Living in Loserville in there right away, some people were like, I'm not going to listen to it based off the title. But if the punter, who had a great day until the end, doesn't sum up Living in Loserville, I don't know what does. Punter having, like I said, a phenomenal day. Trapped him on that 91-yard run. What, they trapped him at the 3 or something like that. He goes and, punts a 27-yard. And, oh, by the way, we missed that extra point just to top it off. Of course, we're not just going to recap. We're going to look. We got it. The sun will come up tomorrow. Okay, we got another week coming at Dallas, who just got a win after kind of stuttering a little bit. Where are they at? It's going to be a tight game probably. Vegas thinks it's going to be a very tight game. So we'll preview and predict the Dallas Cowboys game. Like I said, at Dallas, this four-game stretch is crucial. We were hoping 2-2. Well, you're always hoping 4-0 or 3-1, but even 2-2 would have been nice. And now, and that's why you hate to let some of these road victories go. You got to get some of them. You got to get some of them. When they're in your hand like that, you got to give it to them. We talked about that Bears game. We're not even talking about that Bears game as far as a game we shoulda, coulda, woulda, because we got our ass kicked. I don't care, we don't care what the score was. That game wasn't going to be winnable, unfortunately. Who knows on the back end? But yeah, we'll definitely preview the Cowboys game. And we figure if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, there's a percentage of you that will lean into the Gophers, especially this season. They'll watch the Gophers. So we, at the back end, the very, very end of the podcast, we talk Gopher football. Obviously, big game coming up. Undefeated against undefeated. No, I'm not talking about LSU and Bama, which that's happening too. I'm talking about Penn State in the Gophers. Going to break it down here on the Living in Loserville podcast. And if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. Welcome back. It streams live and archives right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoverradio. Okay. But you can find it anywhere. You don't have to just go to Rope It Over Radio on Blog Talk. You can find it on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify. In fact, we're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can find that everywhere, including iHeartRadio. You can use Siri or Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to find the shows as well. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu. TGT is the promo code, as in the Grueling Truth. And, you know, we figure there's a good chance that you are a big sports fan. And some people aren't happy with the current package they got for basic cable. Some people cut the cord or not happy. I got something for you. I use it personally. AT&T TV Now. It's cable streaming. You got a 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50. Right now, it includes HBO. There's no annual contract. They got the cloud DVR. You can stream it anywhere. Try AT&T TV Now basic cable package for $50. It's not a bad deal. Take a gander. Okay. So before we – well, you know what? I do want to bring in my co-host just to say hello, Aaron, just to, you know, catch up with him, see how he's doing before we – play that audio of the one-eyed bandit we've come to love, named Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. How you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm good. What I mean, I expect to hear what I usually hear from Zimmer, which is going to be, you know, want to run the ball more, got to rely on the defense. I mean, that's what you're going to get from him now. I don't know what your clip says, but I know that was his sentiment at halftime or when he was interviewed on the sideline. And I mean, that's what you're going to hear from Mike Zimmer. And I think it bothers him a little when he have a great passing game, because I think it's against his principles. But, you know, he lives with it, and if you win with it, you win with it. But, yeah, I mean, he's always going to fall back on it. And you have some stats later to show, you know, he's probably right about running the ball and playing defense.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think you're right, too. I think you are right on that. So this is just from today. We're just going to play a couple minutes. I think there's some interesting stats right away, third down especially. Just some things, and then we'll just get right into it. Like I said, we're not going to play the whole thing here, okay?
When you look at the third downs, we had 7 that were third and 8+, and they had 6 that were third and 3 or less. And then, you know, we've got the ball up 23-20 with 7 minutes left. We have a 3-and-out, and then it's 23-20 with 2 minutes left, or 23 all with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and we go backwards, and then we get two sacks on defense where the ball comes out, and we don't get either one of them. So we'll move forward. It's not the end of the world. Get ready to go play Dallas, and good football team, and play a little bit better.
Kirk mentioned yesterday how much he liked the short yardage plays that you guys had drawn up, but you were just never able to get there. What do you kind of attribute that to?
We weren't good on first and second. It's pretty simple. You know, in the running game, we didn't establish a running game enough. We didn't get as much movement on them as we had hoped, and we didn't finish blocks. So that was part of it. And then, like he said yesterday, he missed some throws.
What do you think the running game didn't get going quite as – sticking with it, or was it just something that wasn't
working? No, we had some miscommunication in there. You know, we went to the wrong guy a couple times. We overthought it. And then, like I say, we didn't finish well enough. You know, there was a bunch of times we were on the guy and we didn't finish, and that guy came off and made tackles. So we got to finish better. on the other thing, you know, then we talk about, you know, we get a great punt down in there inside the 10-yard line. We give up a 90-yard touchdown. And then, you know, at the end of the game, we get a bad punt. And
so anyway, you know, it goes on and on. And you know, I'm sure you get the gist of it. But, yeah, I mean, he really summed it up quite well there. You just not how you're going to win on the road against a good team, a very good team. Not a great team without Mahomes. But as we know, Matty Moore has started plenty of games. He's played pretty well. He's a pretty good quarterback. Besides Teddy Bridgewater, him and Teddy Bridgewater are probably the best backups in the league, I'd have to say. But Moore's, you know, a guy that's played enough to where, especially when you got a system in place, and that helps too, right? You got a system in place, you got weapons, you got speedsters, as we saw, unfortunately. But yeah, it just kind of wraps it up. When you have 7 out of the 16 third down attempts being 3rd and 8 and plus, and we know that means 16 and 17 and whatnot, and then they turn around on 6 and 13, 6 of 13 are 3rd and 3 and less, that tells you a lot, man.
Really sticks out to me is him bringing up people not finishing blocks. He brought that up a couple, 3 times in that little segment there. And, you know, that goes back to the offensive line and the offensive line that we praised pretty heavily last week on the show about improved running game, you know, best back in the NFL or at least leading rusher, combination of them being really successful. And it seemed to fall back a little bit this week. It's a little worrisome. Elf line is looking a little weak and at that side, and he had some problems with penalties the week before. So he's really struggling in there, and it's kind of having a toll on the line in general. And, you know, maybe they just weren't motivated or something. They weren't finishing blocks, and you know, that's important for the run game. And he actually kind of seemed like he was pretty pissed about it. That's kind of what he's like. He'll point something out in the back end of his sentence that lets you know exactly what he thinks about it. And he wasn't happy with the way the offensive line played after hearing that.
No, not at all. And I won't take credit for it. You said it offline right before we started to go live here. And just your thought process of, you know, did the offense kind of think, hey, man, they looked at the stats and thought, we're just going to be able to run the hell out of the ball. We'll be fine. It did kind of feel like that. And maybe that throughout the whole offense, and kind of piggybacking off your point of what Zimmer said with not finishing blocks and whatnot. And there wasn't a lot of movement. There wasn't a lot of sending guys over here, 3 guys to go, you know, to bring that whole line out there. And we've seen a lot of that. That way you get set up that play action to whip out the other angle, the other side of it. You may have hit it right on the nose. Maybe they just thought, hey, man, we're going to go there. And have you seen our offense the last 5 weeks? I don't think they're ready for it.
Yeah, and by the time they woke up, it seemed like it was too late. They really came out good in the second half and started making, you know, some yardage, starting to get the game under control. Looks like someone lit a fire under them at halftime. But it just wasn't enough in the end. Now, had they sustained that sort of effort in the first half, you had a chance to maybe get your own 90-yard run. I mean, you're looking at the worst rushing defense in the NFL, and you can't run well on first and second down, which was an issue last year, and is starting to raise its head again this year. Now, it's been one game. They've ran the ball well for most of the year, so let's hope they can get back to it. But something wasn't right. I'm going to chalk it up to the one egg for the season and hope there's not more eggs. You know, and then just to go on to further that point, just every Viking thing happened. You miss an extra point, you got a shank punt, and all these little things that add up to field position and problems later down the line. It just seemed like, you know, it wasn't one of those games where everybody was on point.
No, you're right. Can you hear me okay? I had a little static, and I adjust my mic, and it unplugged and plugged back in. Can you hear me okay? Just double check.
Yeah, I hear you better than how the show started. You were a little bit staticky to begin with.
Maybe my mic wasn't plugged in all the way, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that you made a lot of good points, and we did, like I said, we slang it all over the, 20 times in the first half. It is kind of weird. 9 of 20, 100 yards, a touchdown. And it didn't seem like the offense, obviously the holes weren't being created at the time. The protection was weird. Cousins had a rough day against the blitz. He came into this game the number one rated guy against the blitz. He really struggled with that. Some of that's him misfiring. Some of that's just throwing the ball away. I mean, when you look at his completion percentage, as many as he missed, he definitely threw away some too. And that was really early. I think the first chunk of plays he missed. I know a lot of people, you could tell it off the first play with Thielen. And I actually thought Thielen should have caught that ball. I know it was behind him, but he had two hands on it. He didn't have to dive. Maybe that was in his head with his hamstring because he came right off the field. We'll get into that as well. And also not having Thielen for a second week now, we saw against the Redskins, we weren't the offense that we thought we were, even in that win, even controlling the pace and all that. It was still, we didn't put up many points. And, man, those hamstrings tend to linger, dude. I'm getting a little nervous on that one. But, yeah, in the first half, 4-3 and outs. The defense, you know, they forced some too. But, it was rough, dude. And 40-yard touchdown, I mean, Waynes got beat. Harrison was late to the play as well. But Trey Waynes, either in position or getting beat, was just getting, you know, roughed up, abused all game. Now, they did respond to that. They featured Cook mostly on that drive. Even a first down play on a 3rd and 11 to Treadwell. What got into Treadwell at that point? There was a pass to Johnson. That got it to 7-7. Both teams kind of three and out. Then a 17-play drive. We talk about these long drives. Bend but don't break. And sure, they gave up a field goal. So it was only 10-7. That is nice, especially on the road. But 17-play, 85 yards, 856 in the pros is just too many plays. You got to get off the field at some point. And that's with that pressure. Sometimes we're blitzing. Sometimes we weren't. We started blitzing late in the game, especially in the second half, but especially in the fourth quarter, and it seemed to work well. You wonder, just to kind of pause right here at 10-7, now we did, you know, another back-to-back three and outs on both sides, but then, you know, with the game, we did tie the game up with a nice drive to close. Almost had a Diggs touchdown. Cousin just a little far on it. Diggs really tried to stretch out and whatnot, but I lost my point. I was about to tell you. I was about to ask you something. What was I just saying? I just lost my point because I looked down at something. And these long drives, dude. Like, how many drives can we give away of 8 minutes and 7 minutes? And it's just too many of them that we've seen. And yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about too. The blitz. Were they just afraid to blitz too much because of that deep ball? Because we got hit. I mean, that's a deep ball system. We know about the deep ball here in Minnesota. 2 weeks ago against Detroit, that summed up the game, the deep ball. They weren't going to give many deep balls. We took a couple shots, not that many compared to some of these other weeks. You could tell they're taking that away. But these long drives add up on the defense as far as wearing you down, Aaron. And then, like I said, the pressure was so inconsistent. Do you think they held back a little bit on the blitz because of that deep ball threat with Hill? Even though they got us like 3 deep balls.
I think you nailed it. You give up those. I mean, Hill's tough to stop. He's so fast. It's hard to, you know, you got to get in better position. You can't let him take the top off. Those are all obvious statements to say. But, you know, I was listening to Lieber a little bit, Ben Lieber on KFAN. Just he had a little something to say about it. And he's really down on the secondary. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And he had some things about lineups and adjustments and some things that Rhodes and Waynes seemed to be a little out of sorts during this game, not knowing where to line up, not knowing what the game plan was. Rhodes in particular is who he pointed out. And it seemed to kind of be something that a trend, I guess you could call it, with the secondary. So I think, it kind of snowballed. You know, you can't blitz because you've got Hill, who's faster than anybody you got, and he's taken the top off already of your defense, and he keeps gashing them. So then you make some adjustments. Now, boom, 90-yard run gets popped due to your adjustments, and it just kind of sets you off balance is what offense tries to do to a defense, and it worked for Kansas City. Andy Reid's beat us, and he's got a good record against Zimmer. I heard a stat about that. I'm not going to say it because I don't have it down, but he's awful successful against Mike Zimmer's defense and both places in Cincinnati and here. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, you kind of got off balance and you tried to adjust, and then they counterpunched, and, you know, they just had the right counter all the time. In the end, they finally got Kelce at the end of the game. So, I mean, he tried to cover all the bases, but you can't cover them all. And then piggybacking on what you said about Thielen and the offense, you know, that's another balance issue there, because if you don't have the counterpoint to Diggs, you know, a quality receiver proven effective on the other side, well, then you can start to do things defensively to Diggs to put him out of the game. And then you're left with Treadwell, B.C. Johnson, who are coming up and pretty good. Treadwell had his best day, I think, that I've seen.
Yeah.
And that was interesting to see. And all the touchdowns went to, you know, kind of our no-name guys. You know, Abdullah got one. B.C. Johnson got one. Rudolph got one. He's not really a no-name guy. But so I think kind of everything offensively and defensively were just off balance that entire game. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, last year when Diggs, I think, missed like a game, full game, and I think he came out of one or two of them. In that time frame, remember, Thielen was like through eight games had the record of receiving, period. He ended up like the fourth best receiver of the year, you know, stat-wise. So he was on a record pace, and then when Diggs went out, all of a sudden they could cover him up a little bit more, and it does seem like the opposite's effect. Now Diggs, one catch for 4 yards. You can take away the deep ball, okay. I mean, the only first down play he had is on the end around. So that was frustrating, no doubt about it. But then, you know, 10-10, played a bad first half. You're in the game, obviously. I liked how they, you know, drove down the field and tied it. But then Holden Hill recovered a Hughes forced fumble right on the kickoff. And you're thinking, okay, here we go. We go right down, got a wide open Abdullah. Everybody was like, oh, Cook's not in the game? Okay, cool. Well, let's cover everybody else. Oh, you forgot about the wide open, you know, Abdullah, like you mentioned, he scored in the no-name, kind of keeping with that trend. But it's 16-10, and why is it 16-10? We all know why, because we live in Loserville, and mix extra point. So you're like, okay, this is going to come back to burn us, just because they always come back to burn you. Got the ball back, had the lead 16-10, a penalty, two penalties. We were, even though the Vikings are like trying to lead the league in penalties for some odd reason this year, both offense and defense, and they're always timely. Well, we didn't have a ton of penalties this game. In fact, three of them, but two of them I can point to killed us. And one of them was on a first down play that really could have been not, well, it was a holding call, but he probably shouldn't have, because the play, it wouldn't have hurt the play, I guess is what I'm saying. Irv Smith had a first down. You never know where that goes. We're in their territory. We back up, get a sack, and next thing you know, we're screwed, and we're punting. And had a great punt, because, of course, the punter had a great day until the end. But this, so we trap him at the three. And then both Harrison and Harris – somehow, I mean, you just can't give up a 91-yard run. And you know that had to have the one-eyed Jack, one-eyed bandit head coach Mike Zimmer just pissed off. And, I mean, if that isn't – it's so bad that it was so long, right? It kind of reminds me of Tony Dorsett on Monday Night Football with the Vikes back in the day when we were kids. But right up the gut too, Aaron. I mean, if that doesn't kill you – you're 16-10. You had the ball. Here we go. We can really start to put it on. Let's put it on them. Let's make them pass. Nope. They're going to run from their 3 yard. You know you're going to run from the three. Am I right there? You're probably going to run from the three. How the hell does that happen, man?
You're right. You are going to run from the three. And that did kill them. I mean, that was ball game then. You don't see our defense give up those kind of runs. They just don't. And to watch that as an offense, to watch that as defense and see that happen to you, it just doesn't happen to this defense in the last 5 years. So at that point, you're just like, okay, We've seen it now. We've seen it all. And it was a terrible tackle attempt by Harris. It's the worst I've seen him, a tackle attempt by him. I'm sure it's not easy to tack some NFL back in the open field, but I mean, he gets paid to do it. And then Harrison as well. Harrison Smith also missed. And then you get past the two safeties, you're gone. So, and it was well-blocked, well-called play, and it was really a backbreaker. I mean, you came back, you got ahead again, but just to get a gash like that, and Zimmer had smoke coming out of his ears, I bet, on that one, because I'm sure he was either he made a bad call and he's mad at himself, or he's mad at bad tackling or bad run fits or whatever it was that caused that play. It's just so rare to see that. You might see a guy get 10, 15 and get tackled, and that, you know, that's usually ticks you off, but geez, to keep going 90 yards. I mean, can you remember another 90-yard run against this defense?
Not against this defense. I just, you know, harken back to the days of Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Vikings, you know, Dorsett in the end zone, lining up probably with his feet touching the end of the end zone almost, and 99 yards later, Dorsett scores on us. That's what I remember. But, yeah, it was a backbreaker, and And it sucks, too, because we got the ball back, moved it a little bit, had a dumb penalty, kicked it. You know, it's 17-6, obviously, at this point. Wide open 30-yard pass, no corner or safety in the vicinity on the camera shot. And it's not like they're zoomed in on Hill, you know what I mean? And what was crazy, just to show you how fast Hill is, did you see him catch up to the running back at the end of that play? Dude, I was like, oh my God. Now, I understand at the end of the play you're a little tired, but Hill was out there running too, so he was tired too. That was pretty crazy, dude. But yeah, now it's 20-16. They managed to bend but not break. Okay, you gave up a big play. Cool. You forced the field goal. Midway through the third quarter, like I mentioned, Diggs finally, he sent that one catch 4 yards. He finally gets an end around. But then the Vikings score with 4:31 to play. It's 11-play drive, 75 yards. Started with Irv Smith, had that Diggs end around. He finally made an appearance. Cook, you know, running and catching. You know, that's what it was. That pass, it was a 4-minute 31 drive. I should back that up. It wasn't 4 minutes left of the game, but it was a nice drive. And that pass, that laser pass to Rudolph, was probably the best, if not the second best pass that Cousins threw on a day where he was up and down. Got it to 23-20. Defense holds. We got the ball back. This is what Zimmer was talking about. It's like, okay, dude, 23-20, dude. We had this in the early third quarter. We had a chance to put the foot down, and it feels like we got a little conservative with the play call. And then Klein had a holding call that made it third and long, and we were screwed, basically. Not only that, of course, another 41-yard pass to Hill. We had him all day long, but Moore fumbled. We still couldn't recover it. He fumbled twice in the end of that, or, you know, the fourth quarter of that game. Couldn't get on it. And then Zimmer, he didn't mention this, go figure, but he called a timeout, and Moore put the ball on the ground off the snap, dude. And that could have, I mean, that could have ended the game right there. It literally could have ended the game. And that one hurt, dude. But, you know, once again, they gave up a bomb. But bend but didn't break, 23-20. And we get the ball back, plenty of time. First play, defensive line made a pretty good play. Elf line was blocking him. So you know the dude's got two free arms. Knocked it down. Then the Irv Smith Jr., the Rudolph, the Smith, and the Cook. The screen game actually got it cooking a little bit. That's the only thing we could do, consistently anyway. They took that away, lost yards on that play because someone didn't get off, or someone let someone get off a block, and it's 3rd and 17. It's 2-minute warning. You're like, okay, well, this drive's done. Pat Eflin gets beat, gets sacked, and then, of course, we know the short punt. They get the ball at the 45. Weekly had a sack and a fumble. Oh, but we couldn't pick it up. What do you know? 17-yard catch, like you said. Kelce got into it finally at the end. And it was a 2nd and 22 at that point. And they got that 17-yard pickup. That just killed us. Hill got that first down. And that was a wrap, man. that was a wrap, man. Definitely a rough one, no doubt about it. Any other items you want to touch upon on this this game that really is going to come back to bite us in the ass at the end of the season, probably?
Not a whole lot left to say, except for, you know, maybe some suggestions. You might want to start rotating corners. You got four of them that can play. You might as well just start rotating them. I don't think you have a star corner anymore with Rhodes until he gets his act together or comes back together. Waynes is proving to be an adequate corner, not a great one. So you've got four that you can use. Maybe start rotating Hill and Hughes in at the outside a little bit. And then you got, Chris, we've been looking for this third wide receiver for God knows how long. And it's just become apparent now without any question that we need one. You lose a wide receiver, throws your offense completely off balance. If you had a third, you could plug them in with the offense that we're running where you need two. I think we thought BB was going to be that, but he got hurt. So, you know, it just shows you more and more that you need that third, and we just don't have anybody who really can hold that place. I mean, BC Johnson might be able to, and Treadwell was supposed to be that with his size, but just didn't work out. And maybe it's not too late for him. We'll see, but it's definitely apparent now that that third is a very important piece to an offense.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, I mean, I know it's fun to pick on Rhodes because, you know, everybody in the state's doing it, but he wasn't really a big problem. He wasn't getting picked on or beat. The only big play he gave up was a great one-hand grab by Watkins. But you're right. It seems like we're just switching off. Like, well, this week, that week, he's come off, you know, one of his worst games he had. Back-to-back weeks, really, especially when he gave up those two touchdowns. But last game was his worst game, I'd say, even with those two touchdowns the week before. But this game, I didn't see that. That's interesting. And hey, you want to, you know, put a fire under someone, that's how you do it. And Trey Waynes has started out pretty good this year. I think that, like I said, a lot of the attention on Rhodes as far as, you know, cause he was the elite corner at one time and he's not living up to it right now. But, I mean, Waynes, he played a horrible game. Dude. He got beat left and right. And just to put a little bow on it, this is a little fun little game. So, the Vikings, only won one time in Kansas City. But the Vikings' last win was 45 years ago, December 14th, 1974, folks. That's the last time. So basically, since I've been alive, I've never seen a win in Arrowhead. Not that we play there every other year or nothing like that or every year, but I mean, that's pretty crazy stat just alone. Like, ooh, man, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. But here we go as far as outdoor. You know, the big thing when we were in the Metrodome, the outdoor games, right? We had a bad record against outdoor, and a lot of teams do, even the ones that, you know, play outdoor at home. It's on the road, so you're not going to have a great record. But since 2016, and this includes that 13-3 year, just so people know, because we know that record or the schedule wasn't as tough that year. Since 2016, so we didn't really have any chances to do it, I'd say, you know. Maybe just one, I think, Atlanta or something. The Vikings are now 0-12-1, and we know why that one is there, that Green Bay game last year. And this is an opponent with a winning record on the road, too. So it adds a little bit more to it. Zimmer's defense allows 27 points per game on the road in these games, in these 13 games, 4.3 above what the expectations, right? Meaning, you know, Vegas slash what you're averaging per game given up. And then the offense is actually a little lower than 17 a game, which is about 4 below the expectations. And then if you add it up, the Vikings, this is going into this game, because they were talking about how it'd be a shootout. And it wasn't exactly a shootout. 26-23 is a little higher scoring, but 10-10 at half doesn't really scream shootout. then it turned into that basically somewhat. But this is basically the 5 years, right, going into this game. Okay, we're 2-2 in these games that I'm going to talk about. The Vikings are 9-27-1, including 1-7-1 last season with Zimmer's first 5 years as coach, when allowing 20 points. When allowing 20 points, which in nowadays, ever since he took over, you know, offenses have scored a lot more points nowadays. You could see it by the quarterback stuff, their numbers. It's just crazy. So 20 points isn't a whole lot, but it is 20-plus points, obviously. But they are 2-2 this year in those games. So talk about running the game and playing defense. So basically what I'm saying is, since he's been here, we don't have wins over quality teams on the road. So before you go back to blaming Cousins for this game, which a lot of people did, because it's easy and, you know, people will still point to that horrible pick in Green Bay, you know, which cost us the game. Other things did, but it didn't matter right then and there. He should have not done that. But if this is a bad game for Cousins, we didn't talk about Cousins. The social media did, though. The Vikings group were on fire at that Cousins lost us this game. And it's like, really, dude? So he had 3 touchdowns, no picks, didn't put the ball on the ground. If this is a stinker game for him, I like what I see out of him this year then, if this is a stinker game. But, yeah, man, it's well, we are talking about this stretch, this important stretch. And here we are.
Well, before you get to that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I thought Cousins played well enough to win. Like you said, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles. Ran the game fairly well. My problem was the infamous slide, and we didn't touch on that at all. You're aware of what I'm talking about, are you not?
I was about to.
Well, yeah, I'll let you go. Right.
Go ahead.
I didn't know you were working up to it. I mean, that would be my only real complaint, when I was just like, what the hell? And I think he also felt that way. I think it was a brain fart on his part. pardon the rhyme. But it had to have been, you know, it's tough to watch because you're like, Jesus, another step, man. But yeah, go ahead and say what you're going to say. I just wanted to point that. I thought we were going to go over it, but no, you got something to say.
No, that I was going to add that on to it. Just at the end, that's exactly what I was going to say. The one thing that stood out was that exact thing. You know, it's such a Cousins thing to do.
It really is.
Where you just like, are you juggling a lot of stuff in your mind right now? What's going on, buddy? What's going on with you, bud?
Now, you had a stat, or no, you were talking to a guy at the bar who was talking about every 4th game. You should talk about that.
Well, I talked about last week, and that was part of my prediction. Yeah, that's part of my prediction. Right. Every 4th game. Now, this is a Michigan State fan, okay? And we ran the numbers when he left, you know, like Google numbers, because we didn't want to sit there and like, because you can debate people, but you don't want to get in a huge argument or something like that, where you're like, dude, the stats you're talking about are bullshit. That's not true, you know? Because if you look at what he did that, you know, like in that time frame, Cousins is a damn, one of their best quarterbacks that they've ever had in that run that they had. Because he'd say, oh, then we lost that game. They're like, no, you didn't. Yeah, we lost that game. Then the next year, we lost that and that and that. And it's like, and then when he left, we looked it up and we're like, see what I mean, dude? What are you talking about? Not only that, but one of his horror games, or the next year, it's because he's missing a 1,600-yard rushing, you know, guy, that type of thing. But his theory, and it's holding true as a Viking, we can't really account for the Redskins, but we know what we see here. And every 4th game, he just has a Cousins game, where you're just like, what's going on, dude? What is going on? And that's I don't think he had that game, but he sure managed to say, hey, I didn't have that game, but here's one. I didn't turn the ball over, but I'll throw this first down to kill a drive when we had a first down. That's just Cousins in a nutshell, dude.
Right. Well, that stuck out in my head all week, and I'm going to disagree with you. I think he had a Cousins game. I think he had some really bad throws that you hadn't seen for the previous 3 weeks. I think he had the infamous slide,
Cousins game, though, involves turnovers, Aaron. and just a bunch of shitty, because a turnover would turn you over and give the field position.
Sure.
Whereas I can't call this a shitty Cousins game. I'm not calling it a shitty Cousins game.
Okay.
Well, you called it a Cousins game. Okay. So that means it's a shitty Cousins game.
Not necessarily. Because you went with the shitty Cousins game. I was just going with the every fourth kind of clunker game. I didn't realize you were talking about a shitty game.
Well, what is a clunker?
A clunker game is like missed throws, a brain fart on the slide, not necessarily paying up to par. I don't necessarily think you have to throw turnovers and have fumbles to have a crappy game. Now, I'm not saying he had a crappy game, and that's the point of this. I'm just saying he made those mental errors that you see appears to be every four games. And now, I'm seeing it because, that's been in my head all week about the every four games, because I was trying to say, is it really every four? Could it be every four? Blah, 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 down the line in that train of thought. But if you're going to say,
I guess you said he had a pretty good game, good enough to win. So that doesn't,
I thought he did have a pretty good enough game.
Well, that doesn't surprise a clunker then. That was my point. That's not a clunker.
So
if
I think we're just,
to win.
We're misunderstanding each other. So what I'm saying is that every four games, he has mental errors. He does things like that. I'm not saying he's going to throw a bunch of picks, which is, I didn't realize that's what that guy was talking about at the bar.
Well,
he's going to throw a bunch of picks.
I thought we were on the same page because we've seen Cousins have these games, because we even talked about it last week too, where it's two fumbles on the ground and two picks, or just like, dude, you can't do that to your team. I don't care if it's pressure or not, take the sack. You know what I mean? Right. So that's what I meant by every four games is he has a game where he's going to probably lose the game for you. I guess that's what his theory was, and it's holding true so far, I'd say. But I don't call that a clunker, to be honest with you, that game. I don't. I agree with you as far as he played good enough to win.
I think it's just a matter of degrees that we're talking about here. You're talking about absolute, meltdown. I'm just talking about an off game, basically.
Well, that's the thing. If every fourth game, if you were pretty shitty quarterback, you probably wouldn't have been a starter anymore. You know what I mean? Kind of halfway shitty. Like you said, it was just a difference of what we thought. But, yeah, from here on, a Cousins game means
let's define garbage-ass
game. Right. He missed some in the flat, no doubt about it. He wasn't accurate. But he also threw the ball away probably a good four times well. So
right. You
can look at that 50% thing and go, huh, yeah, I hear that. He wasn't sharp, but I just don't think he did what Cousins tends to do. I was about to start quoting some of the games from last year and be
No, you don't need to do that. No,
like the Buffalo game.
What I was thinking, we'll move on after this, was that so the previous three games he's played really, really well, right? So in relation to those three games, this was kind of not a great game. Does that make sense? It's not as bad as it could have been. Trust me. But
well, I know exactly what you're talking about. We're on the same page. It seems to
fit that pattern. And so that's why it stuck out in my head. I don't know if I was looking for it while I was watching the game. I don't know. For some reason, man, that stat stuck out in my head because it sort of made sense to me. Every four games sort of seemed right to me.
Well, it could be every fifth game on this one, because you never know. We got a week coming up. We got to go on the road. So let's not he could have a horrible game this next week. You never know. Maybe the offensive, confidence from those four games. He said three games. It was four games too in a row. He won October. That's a Minnesota thing to say, right? Yeah, man. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. Those Dallas games, remember when you had Carter and Randy Moss and Robert Smith all holding the big turkey bones? Yeah, dude, this is our Super Bowl, but it doesn't matter, because it's all coming down to the end. Okay, well, let's hope Cousins doesn't have one of these damn games where you're just like, dude, you can't have four turnovers in the game. I don't care. Take the sack. Because we got a game that's a 50-50 game, Aaron. It really is. Vegas has got it. The Cowboys, three points, and that's home field. So, even the damn, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, which is always a weird stat, 52 points. You know what's funny about this, Aaron? They get so statistical that they say the Dallas Cowboys have a 52.6% to win. And it's like, oh, really? So there is a 0.4 tie in there, just so you know, and they're giving us a 47%. It's basically a 50-50 game. And when you look at this, Aaron, the stats are damn close when you look at this. Now, it's been really hit or miss, dude. They started out well, the Cowboys did. Then they went on a slide where they lost three in a row. They just got off against their one of their rivals, Philadelphia. And of late, that's been their rival, really, right? Because Washington hasn't done much. When you see these stats, though, dude, it's we average 26 on offense. They average 27. We give up just a little bit less than them, both in the 17s, almost 18 a game for defense. You know, we both can run the ball. We both stop the run pretty well. We're both under 100 when it comes to that. Surprisingly, we're up to almost 250 a game given up through the air, which is not like a Zimmer defense. We run the ball a tad better than them. This thing is a 50-50 matchup, dude. Obviously, you know, AT&T, Cowboy Stadium, 100,000 strong. I don't think Thielen's coming back. I mean, he didn't get tested, and they didn't, like, test him and be like, hey, are you going to go? Are you going to go? He just walked off and said, I can't go, period. Because even Zimmer said after trying to give any kind of detail, he said, you got to ask Thielen because he just left and he was done. He said he couldn't do it. And Thielen said that this is the first hamstring problems he's ever had. That's pretty crazy for a wide receiver, isn't it? Like, it's your first time you ever messed up your hamstring? I don't know whether that's good or not. You know, like, is he used to that kind of pain to play with it? But it was such a minor sprain. That's why they thought he could play. And, God, I really hope he didn't make it worse, man. I would feel pretty good about this game. But without Thielen, dude, I kind of got cold feet all of a sudden when it comes to predicting this game, man.
I feel the same as you. I don't really know how to see it. You got kind of mirror image teams. You got Elliott on one side and Cook on our side. And, you know, they got Cooper on that side and then nobody else. And we got Diggs on our side, nobody else. You got Cousins who can be erratic at times, although has played pretty well this season. Prescott can also, you know, pass for four touchdowns and or turn the ball over. So it's just kind of you don't really know what you're going to get until game day. It's really hard to call. I think game plan wise, defensively, you're going to want to, you know, make Prescott beat you. You don't want Elliott to do it because he sure as hell will. So plus he's a bigger back and we're having a hard time defensively stopping the run, it looks like at the moment, although I'm sure that will probably get remedied throughout practice this week, if you know Mike Zimmer. So I don't really know what to say about it. I'm going to just kind of make a gut call on it because I don't really know how the game's going to go. And I think the Vikings are going to win this one. I'm not real calm. I'm about 52% in my prediction here because I just don't know which way it could go either way. You know what I mean? So
now what do you want after the point though? 52 point what, Aaron? What do we got here? Because that's 52.6
maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go with it because I pretty much have to, and it's just kind of my gut, but I'm going to say 34-17 Vikings. I feel like after last week, they tend to bounce back. I think we could run the ball on them. The question is, can they run the ball on us? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. If that's the case, that changes the game. If we can both run the ball on each other, you know, then I think the score comes down a little bit. But I'm going to stick with 34-17 Vikings in a bounce back road win.
And I like what you said about the bounce back. We generally do bounce back pretty well. The over under set at 47. I think that's about right because I kind of feel like that it will be more of a slow paced game. They're both trying to establish the run. I'm a little in between on it, and here's why. It is a Sunday night game, isn't it? Is it a Sunday night game? Yeah, it's a Sunday night game. Prime time. And we know how we operate these last couple of years of prime time. Now, I think, but for that reason, I wanted to bring up the prime time because of, you know, Cousins' record and these last 2 years here of us in general as an offensive unit. But I think they're going to break through. I think they're going to break through this time. I think they're going to do it. I don't know why, but I think it is the bounce back. I think that it'll be not quite. I am going with the Vikings like you, not quite as optimistic about that score. So I'm going to go 27. I'm going to go 27 to 23. 27-20. That's actually what I wrote down. Yeah, because I wanted to copy the spread. 27-20. The over-under's 47. Not the spread, but the over-under is what I was looking at, just copying. 27-20 is what I got. And, man, since we let that one out of our grasp last week, we really, really need this one. It's because at Seattle, dude, that's going to be way even that much tougher. And the run that they're on right now in their quarterback right now, it's getting pretty silly, man. They're starting to look like that team. I mean, obviously New Orleans has played really well too, but man, they're starting to look like that team. So, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I think the Vikings will win. They definitely need it.
Not to be greedy, man, but I think we need the next two. I mean, you got to beat the Broncos as well, because coming up on that next stretch. Seattle,
that's our 2-2,
the
right?
Lions. Yeah, I mean the Seattle, the Lions, and the Chargers. That's not an easy run there. And dropping that one to Kansas City sure hurts a lot in the long run. So yeah, you got to have the next two. But like I said, greedy would be just going on beyond this week. I mean, we've learned that you go 1 week at a time with this squad.
That is well said. That is well said. No doubt about it. We looked at this 4-game stretch, and 3 out of 4 on the road, and all 3 on the road are legit. So we definitely need that one, because like you said, you could get that one at home. I feel very confident with that Denver game at home. Knock on wood. But at Seattle, at the Chargers, who just shut down Green Bay when they went on the road, man, yeah, this 4-game stretch you talked about that started with KC, man, 2-2 is a must. And then we can lick our wounds and move on to the rest of the schedule. But anything else you'd like to add before we get to this predicting this Gopher Penn State game? Actually, you can lead with that if you'd like.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we haven't said must win yet this season in a realistic fashion. So I think that's not, because I mean, we started week 6 last year. This is a must win. You got to have this win. So yeah, it's kind of funny that we haven't quite said that yet. And I don't know if it's time to quite say it yet now, sitting at 6-3. But at some point, you know, you're going to have to start winning these games. And with Thielen down, like you said, that you got to be able to adjust to it and move on. His hamstring, like you said, could linger for God knows how long. So let's hope he gets back and doesn't rush it back, you know, take the 2 weeks or whatever you need to get better. And hopefully we can find someone to fill the place in the meantime. And so going on to the Gophers, you know, I looked into Penn State a little bit this week. We're still ranked 13th, didn't go up or down in the rankings, at least from what I saw this morning. I guess that's a pretty good rank. I watched a little bit of Penn State. I didn't get to see much. I've been working a lot, but you know, the more I watch the Gophers, I get a little bit more confident in this game. I watched rewatched the Nebraska game, cause they, you know, on YouTube, they put those condensed games on. I said, I got a half an hour. I'll sit and watch it. And I was looking for certain things, you know, like confidence, how well the defensive line playing, cause I really think that's the key to this game. And I'm sure we'll get into it later. Defensively, you know, how can we combat what they do? They kind of remind me of what Purdue was at its best, with a really good kind of scat back type of guy, and then pretty average. They got a good running back, but other than that, it seems like they're kind of in that vein. They just do what they do really, really well. And so, you know, I'll let you get on with your a little bit before I get too in depth about it, but it's really exciting, man. I'm really a lot more confident, which is odd because in general I get less confident in the Gophers as I look into it, but I think I'm getting more confident as this game draws nearer.
And you're right, just being a Minnesota fan, as it gets closer, you get less and less confidence a lot of time. You're like, I don't know, but you know, it's different different. It's a little different now with Fleck, you know, rowing the boat. And by the way, the Giants are up. That's right. I said the Giants, New York Giants. You've heard of them. 12. Oh, they just scored. It was 12-3. Now it's 12-9. It'll probably be 12-10 late in the second quarter. Talk about Dallas. So that's why it's somewhat relevant anyway. So Vegas has the Gophers 6.5-point underdogs. So it's still relatively a tight game. You know, defensively, they definitely, it looks like on paper, they're better. Their defensive line is more experienced. It's more athletic. Although, you know, the defense has played better than we thought. And that was our big worry. But then again, you know, that strength of schedule thing does pop up. And, you know, you look at Michigan. Good club, not great, but damn good. They were able to contain that run. Same with Iowa. Pulled out a grinded-out game at Iowa. Not easy. We're going to find out in about a week. Actually, about 10 days. So when I line it up, I can't help to think, first of all, they stop the run really well. In college, even in the 90s, giving up 90, that's pretty good because you do face, you know, teams that if you keep them under 200, you're winning because you're like, all right, dude, they average 250 or 200, but we'll keep them to 135 and you're fine. They only give up in, that's with Iowa in, you know, Michigan that run the hell out of the ball. Same with Pitt, too. They're looking at 68 a game, dude. That's impressive. .117 is what we give up, which isn't horrible by any stretch, but it just kind of looks at that way. You know, you look and go, huh. But then again, they give up well over 200 yards passing, whereas we only give up .166. So it kind of evens out. It's a very fairly even matchup. I just think the defense is the difference maker. You know, you're right. They do have that that kind of all-purpose dude, you know, the just kind of a sense of game manager, even though in some of these high-profile games, their quarterback, Clifford, has actually kind of stepped up to the plate at times. I just look back and, you know, the wide receiver core that, especially 1 and 2, but Bell's really come along this year, obviously. But that's going to be what we're going to have to win on. But the problem with that is when we face some of these games, these slants and run for 62 yards, I'm not saying they won't break a tackle and make a big gain or, you know, score a touchdown on a long one. We'll probably score a touchdown on a long one. That's kind of our MO. But it may be deep down the field. I just don't see some of these screen or like, you know, just 5 yard outs, boom, and just go. I don't know if we're going to get that. And then if you want to attack down the field, you need some time. And I'm a little worried about that part against this defense. And I do think they can contain the run because they proved it, like I said, against Michigan and Iowa. So if we're, you know, it's kind of like get to 80 yards with Smith, Rodney Smith, and that's a win. We talked about it with Cook against Chicago. Remember that? Hey, get to 70 yards, dude, and we get there, you know? And it was, what, one trip away from getting there, wasn't it? With Cook, because he got tripped by our great right tackle. He's not great, but we're just going to call it that. Long story short, I think defense is the difference here. And I'm picking Penn State to, unfortunately, beat my Golden Gophers. I want us to along on the field, and I think we do, and that's really what I hope is present and obvious to see when we play this game. And here's a little example. Back in, what was that, 2014, against Ohio State. Yeah, they beat us, but we stayed with it. We grinded. We scored with them. We scored with, you know, we really showed our worth. And we didn't move really down much in the rankings after that because we were both ranked at that time because people were like, dude, Ohio State's a damn good team. One, they were coming off a national championship the year before. They played right with him, dude. And that's really what I hope happens. But I'm going to say it's going to be, let's see here. I'm going to say 30 to 20. 30 to 23. 30 to 23, the Nittany Lions. What says you, sir?
Well, we agree on an awful lot, except for the outcome. So I'll lead you down that path. It's kind of mixed matching on the fronts is what I'm thinking. Like, I like our offensive line against their defensive line. We just got size. I think we'll be able to run, like you said, in the 70-yard range, something like that. I also like our wide receivers against their defense, and you're exactly right about going long. I think we're not going to get away with the slants. We might get one or two, and if we do, they're going to get tackled. I don't think we're going to get long runs after that. I think we're going to have to go deep. They're going to take the top off at least a lot of attempts at it, and it kind of leads down to boiling down offensively. What's going to need to happen is Morgan's going to need to really have an exceptional game and win this game. Now, obviously, you can't put it down to one person, but he's going to have to play really, really well. He's going to have to get the ball to Bateman, get the ball to the other guys, Johnson, Bell, all the Douglas, those guys need to get the ball. It's going to be, we're going to throw the ball more. Now it's scheduled to be like 39 degrees, which is a brisk fall day, actually morning, I guess. And it's nothing Penn State hasn't dealt with. So, you know, barring a snowstorm, which I'd like to come, but if it doesn't, you know, that's fine too. 39's good enough to make a good running game out of it. And then defensively, On the flip side of that, their defensive line or our defensive line is probably not as good as their offensive line. So I'm seeing them also be able to run the ball pretty effectively, maybe a little bit more effectively than us, and probably cause them to probably want to rely on that a little bit more. Receivers-wise, I'm sure they have them, but we haven't seen them. So I feel like we have an advantage there as far as receivers go. Our secondary is filled with upperclassmen. We got juniors there, so I have a little more trust in them. I'm really surprised by the line, by the way. That's a pretty respectful line. I wasn't expecting that. 6.5 points is a pretty fair line, I think, going into this game. So, and you know, when you brought up the Ohio State game from a few years back, it kind of made me think, yeah, that's probably similar to what we're going to get, minus the snowflakes. And if it goes that way, you know, I really feel like we'll win that game. So, long story short, as you said, I'm going to go 27-23 Gophers in a bit of a slugfest. It's going to get ugly. It's going to be close. It's going to stay close. It's going to be a really exciting game. Probably will go down as one of the better games of the season. I think we pull it out in the end. I got them going winning by 4, so that means they score a touchdown at the end to win. And that's what I'm going with. I really feel like they're going to win this game. One being at home, and two, I just kind of like the way the offense matches up against their defense.
Yeah, and I mean, it is about due for someone to lose, right? Penn State hasn't been this far in a long time, this deep in the season. We know it's been since 1941 for us, but high of 35 and cloudy that day. And like you said, 11 a.m. is not going to be the hottest point now. By 2-3, maybe it will, but still, that's a high of 25, meaning it could be 22. And if it's overcast, the sun's not out. Okay, well, if the sun's not out, generally, not all the time, but the wind may be out because hence the cloud coverage, right? So wonder if we get a little windy day. Wonder if, you know, maybe we don't want a windy day, actually, because we want to pass. So maybe we don't want a windy day. Maybe we just want a nice, brisk 20 degrees. And just go from there. My thing is protection. We both agree we're going to pass more and we're going to have to at least do the mid to deeper passes, but that's 5 and 7 step drops. And I just see something, the pocket, not just pocket presence, because Morgan's had a hell of a year. It's really hard to rip him, but there are some spots. Because we haven't played a ranked team this year where you go, yeah, we got away with that one, didn't we? Ooh, we got away with it. You know, and I'm just wondering if this is the one where he gets stacked, it's strip and scoop like we did against other teams, but this is a higher level team. And I just don't know if we can get that seven-step drop. If we can't like, if we can't do that, I think the play action is obviously how we'd set that up. But if the play action isn't fooling them, that's my worry, is protection, I guess. That's my biggest thing, man. But, man, hey, this is going to be a good game, dude. I really think it's going to be a good game.
Well, let's say it goes my way, and let's say we pull off the win. And yeah, I hope it does too. But let's say we pull off the win by however many points. Talk radio has just been going crazy today with all this flex speculation. So I thought maybe we spend a minute on it. You know, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think it's smart for him to go anywhere. I think that you stay at least another year. And I don't want to get too deep into it, because I just don't think there's much behind it. I think he really does like it here. I don't know what you could get at a different program as far as facilities that are as new and as up to date as what you have here. You might get some warmer weather, but there goes the character. You know, you can go, and the teams that are needing coaches are, it just doesn't seem to be a good fit to me. Now, that's all in my gut. I think I heard Florida State brought up. I heard USC possibly brought up. And it just doesn't seem like a good fit for Row the Boat. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I just, maybe your quick opinion on I don't want to say whether he stays or whether he goes, but even if that's even a question to even ask at this point, although it has been all over the radio today.
It's definitely a question to ask, because if you follow college sports, you know, especially college football in general, I mean, Nick Saban said he's not leaving. He literally said he's not leaving. And then the day later, he left. He left LSU straight the fuck up. Went to Miami, the Dolphins, tried his hand at the program after winning a national championship. Won a Big Ten championship, I think, 99 with Michigan State. And didn't like it. Came right back to Alabama. Imagine those LSU fans like, are you fucking kidding me? You got to be kidding me. You not only left us after a national championship to go to the pros, 2 years later you're back, and you're back at Bama in our division, our biggest – oh, my God, that had to just burn him. But anyway, there's just no loyalty. So when he says, I want to be here for a decade or two, I hope it's happening, but I'd never put it past anybody. And the Row the Boat thing – I think it works pretty much anywhere in college. You think Florida and you think California, USC, Tallahassee. I don't want him to row his boat to Tallahassee or Southern Cal. But you put Fleck in Florida, that's his backyard. I mean, recruiting wise, it gets very dangerous. Very dangerous. Same with California. And he's cheesy, no doubt, but I don't know. I really don't. But as far as better, you know, they have better stadiums. They have a better fan base that's already there. They already have, no matter win, lose, or draw, you're getting 80,000 people that are coming to your show or coming to your game. 60, 50,000 is like a bad game. It's installed. It's not a – they have – like ours is updated, but they still – they redo them. They renovate. Like it's we're just caught up to the rest of the top tier teams. That's all our facilities do. It's not like they're the best in the world. It's just now we got them. So I think that there's plenty of fits for him. And in the back of my head, I just can't think that he's going to be here for 10 years. You know what I mean? That's just kind of my take on it. But that's with every college coach. It's hard not to get emotional and hear him say he wants to be here for 10 or 20 years. But I could see how, first of all, when you go to a bigger program, what comes with it? Pressure, right? A lot of pressure. There's no pressure here. Really, really no pressure here, right? He can just go to the Big Ten West every third year, or go out of the big, win the Big Ten West. Not only that, but you're in the Big Ten West, which that means no Michigan and no Ohio State, no Penn State, you know, that you have to deal with every single solitary year. So I think you're in a big conference, obviously, the second biggest conference, second best conference with the SEC. It kind of balances back and forth these last chunk of years. And so I could see a spot where he's like, dude, unless it's like one, like if Saban named him as my guy that takes over when I retire, you know, okay. But it'd be, you know, he definitely, this is a good spot for him. No doubt about it. He's a Midwest dude too, and he loves the lakes. Well, we got them. So I don't know. But yeah, I just can't let myself think he's going to be here for a decade, basically. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not. Yeah, a decade's asking a little too much. I just think a 3-year stop, is that smart to do? Okay, so let's say you go on to USC, right, and you row the boat down there, and it doesn't go well. And then, you know, the backlash of that is, well, he only did 3 years in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. And so I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to him. Now, what it really boils down to is PJ Fleck. I mean, does he really like the weather? Does he, you know, is he really into saying, is he a salesman as far as himself? Which, you know, you got to kind of think, okay, well, perhaps. And so that would lead me, you know, what are his ambitions? Does he want to have a program like USC? Does he want to, or does he want to stay here and maybe have a comfortable life? He'd have one in LA as well, but it's just one of those things.
Yeah, does he want to be Bilma, you know, for years at Wisconsin, and the guy before him who's the director now, does he want to be that guy where he's looked at such a great coach, you know, and be cool with still being at Wisconsin, you know? And that type of feel where you're good, or like you said, does he want to put up a notch? And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to tell what his aspirations are, because he kind of, you know, hides that all within the row the boat culture. So you're starting
but
to see.
But he doesn't, though. He doesn't. He literally just said the other day that he wants to be here for a decade or two,
right,
or as long as they help me. You know, but is that just coach talk, or is that really him?
Right.
I don't know. Wherever he goes, he's going to have success, though. So
right.
I don't think he's ill in USC or Florida State, you know?
I agree with you, too. You just kind of nailed the fact that, you know, it boils down to what his ambitions are and what he wants to do. And it's hard to tell. And you can throw extensions at him till the end of the time. If somebody really wants him, they'll pay the buyout. You know, that's not a big deal to anybody. So, you know, they're going to probably throw an extension at him at some point this season, and it's not really going to matter all that much. And then you say, well, what about his recruiting class? Well, he'll just take them wherever he goes. So, yeah, I mean, a decade's obviously not what I was talking about, but I feel like you got to do 4 years at least, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, you know, you don't really have to do that, but you're right. That's a good question right now with that is a good detail, though, that you added to the question, in that you're kind of, talking about that third year. Like, after 3 years, are you going to dip so quick? Potentially, or, you know, do you have a great year and then some so-so years, then a great year, and then you got to look at, well, when is that job going to pop open? So maybe this is the best time to do it, because there are some jobs. I don't know. It's interesting, very interesting. And obviously, time will tell. Anything else, sir, before we shut this puppy on down?
No, man. I think we covered a lot.
All righty. Yes, indeed, we did. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Living in Loserville podcast, of course, with the emphasis on the purple people eaters. Enjoy the fights, because I do a boxing podcast. Enjoy the games. Go Vikings. Go Gophers. Could you imagine if we did a podcast next week around this time and they won both games? Even one of them would be great, but obviously big games coming up, man. No doubt about it. Let's hope that we will shit. I mean, let's hope we at least win one of them, right? Because this might be a 42-minute podcast next week. And just, you ready to rant? I'm ready to rant. Let's get the hell out of here. Now, all right, you guys take it easy. Thanks for all the listeners. We appreciate it. And like I said, we'll be back next week. Peace.